Welcome to the radio broadcast of the preaching ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, Coshocton, Ohio. My name is Sam Brown, and I am the lead pastor at Calvary. Thank you for joining with us today as we continue to study God's Word together.
To begin this morning, then, allow me to quickly, a survey style, lead us through the first three sections of this text, so that we can come to that fourth section this morning. We're going to turn to the ends, so to speak. We're going to turn to the end of the book. We're going to think about the end, the conclusion. And then later on through the year, we'll come back and dwell on some of these other portions. But to begin, look with me. Let's think on the first three sections of this passage, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And then we will spend that remaining time together in the last section. So first, the first section here is verses 1 through 6. And that section could be titled, Unity of the Body. The Unity of the Body, verses 1 through 6. The second section of this passage, verses 7 through 10. And this section we could title, Christ Has Gifted Every Christian. Christ has gifted every Christian. Again, verses 7 through 10. The third section then, verses 11, 12, and 13. Christ gifts the church leaders and teachers. Christ has gifted the church with leaders and teachers. 11, 12, and 13. The Bible says here that God has gifted to His body, to His church, gifts to all Christians, and then also specific gifts for church leaders and teachers. The purpose of the ministries of these leaders and teachers, you'll see as it continues in verse 12, it's to equip, to build up the body of Christ, the church. They are given so that the church would be nourished and fed, led and served, that the church would be equipped to learn how to serve Him. Who is He that we are called to serve? How are we to live together? What is our mission as a church, and how do we accomplish that mission as a church? God has given these leaders, these servant leaders and teachers, to do that. And then verse 13, what is the end goal? The end goal is the full maturity of every individual in the church, so the church as a whole, unto Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity. It finishes to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is at work in His church. God will bring those Christians together. He will gift every single one of them. No one can hold up the sign and say, nope, sorry, no gifts to be found right here. He's gifted every single one. He takes our knowledge, our skills, our abilities, and those are brought under this mission as well. Also gifts for that church. Great glory unto Him. He calls individuals to unique offices, to fulfill unique roles that are gifts to the church. Some Sundays, those pastors may not be as much of a gift as others, but they are nevertheless gifts to the church. Trust me, sometimes those pastors don't all feel all that much like gifts either. And He's doing all of this. Why? So Christ has structured this. Christ is doing this in my life. He's doing that in the lives of my brothers and sisters. He's placed us all here together. To what end? This is where we're going. To what end? So that we all would grow into spiritual maturity, that we would know Him, that we would live in that unity, that loving unity together, and that the church as a whole would grow. Grow in such a way we could never do on our own. But together, and by the working of God, it can happen. All Christians have been gifted. and all Christians brought into this. So are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Then God's ongoing work in you includes the gifting you with a special calling to the body, such as a shepherd or teacher, or has gifted you with a shepherd teacher. And that shepherd teacher is given so that you will be built up in the faith, in the scriptures, in Jesus, so that everyone together may serve the work of the ministry of the gospel, being built up in full maturity in Jesus. This is God's good work in you, through you, and around you. That's the introduction. Okay, not really. That was part of the teaching, but now we come to that fourth section then. And here, we want to not go quite so quickly. We want to draw out 14, 15, and 16. And what I believe for us for this year, a theme for our church ministry for this whole calendar year. We're going to come back to it often. We're going to review this text many times throughout the year, and I believe it's this. Growing together in Christ. Growing together in Christ. What is Christ doing at Calvary? The Savior who's purchased us, who's brought us together. What's he doing? His work is that we would grow together in him. How? How's that going? How is that accomplished? What does it look like? Well, here are the fourth and the last text, verses 14, 15, and 16, the goal, the building up of the body of Christ to spiritual maturity. Verses 14, 15, and 16, the fourth and final section, the goal, the building up of the body of Christ to spiritual maturity. Let's go right to the end and let's slowly read verse 16. Where does it come to the end of this text? He says, from whom the whole body, the congregation. The congregation is greater than the individual members. And the Christian life may be personal, but it is never private. Each individual Christian life is unto the good of the whole. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, every single individual member of that congregation. Or we could say, those who call Calvary, yeah, that's my church. That's my congregation. Every single one, with whatever abilities and gifts they have, in whatever stage of life they are in, joined and held together by every joint, with which it is equipped. So catch that, not the joints or parts the body wishes it had, but the joints it actually has. So not the people we think we should have, but the people that are here. God has given to the church the gifts and the people needed for this congregation to fulfill and live out Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly. In other words, everything we've already seen, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, confessing and repenting from sin, looking more like Jesus day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, serving, acting, involved, participating, attending, giving, encouraging, supporting, and growing. Makes the body, verse 16 says, grow so that it builds itself up in love. As all this occurs by the power and work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life and in mine, we all grow together in Christ, and therefore the body of Christ, our local church, this congregation, grows more and more in spiritual maturity in Jesus and unto his great glory. That's the end. That's what Christ is doing. That's what Christ has for Calvary Baptist Church. So let's break this down a little further then. Verse 14. Spiritual maturity looks like biblical stability in the face of theological confusion. Spiritual maturity looks like biblical stability in the face of theological confusion. I don't know if you've been much of a amusement park attendee. It's been a while since I've attended one of these or big water parks or whatnot, but I always loved to do that growing up. Growing up outside St. Louis, Missouri, there was a Six Flags right there, and so we would go at least once a summer as a youth group, and I always loved that. Are you familiar with the giant log flume, it might be called? So you have this big, huge raft. I don't know how many people fit in there, like 20, I don't know. And it's just one jump. You start at the top, you go straight down, you hit that pool of water, water sprays everywhere, and you're done. Are you familiar with this ride? Okay, good, all right. So if you're on the ride, you get wet, of course, but you get nothing wet, like if you're standing on the bridge that extends over where the pool is, right? So if you're standing there, you are going to get nailed with this massive wave of water that comes spraying up. And this is probably poor taste of me, but I can't not enjoy the videos of somebody who's standing there right on the bridge and they think they got this, no problem, and they just get wasted right off their feet when that wave hits them. I don't know why that makes me laugh. I'm sorry. Confessing my sins one to another, but it does. It does make me laugh. In a similar way, and this verse 14 describes, if you peruse a bookstore's faith, spirituality, or religion section, or if you were to search theology on Amazon, don't do that right now. Your phones aren't supposed to be connected to the Wi-Fi anyway, so don't do that right now. If you were to search for that, you are going to be inundated with books and resources, right? How do you know which books are worth taking in and which would be better used as fire starter? How do you know which authors are sound, faithful Bible teachers and which are wolves in sheep clothing? Because there are many. What about podcasts or TV preachers or Facebook personalities? How do you know, Christian, what is faithful to God's character and God's word and what is poison to your soul? Paul uses two word pictures in the negative here in verse 14. First, there's the picture of remaining childlike when you should be reaching adulthood, okay? And the second picture is this small boat, like standing on that bridge, getting smacked with that wave of water from that log ride. It's this small boat caught in a storm, and it's just being tossed about helplessly by those wind and waves, just at the complete mercy of those winds and waves smacking that little boat around. Verse 14 presents both in the negative, what this should not look like. Christians are to grow into full spiritual maturity. That's where we should be going. In other words, so what is that? It's knowing Christ. It's knowing the Bible. It's looking more and more like Jesus in our daily life, our decisions, our values, our responses, our words, and our actions. Day by day, week by week, year by year, we're growing. We're changing. Where we used to respond in this sinful way, now we don't respond like that so much anymore. Where we used to struggle with this besetting sin, now by God's grace, by His work, by diligence, pursuing Christ, it doesn't have so much of a grip in our life anymore. Or we're quicker to repent. We're quicker to confess and ask for forgiveness. A person, I believe Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 14, a person can be a born-again Christian for decades and still be childlike in the faith. A person can be born-again Christian and not have the spiritual maturity to handle the deceitful schemes of false teachers, of poisonous theology. So this kind of mature, immature Christian won't know which way is up. They won't know who to listen to and who to reject. They won't be able to handle the flood of poisonous false doctrine when it arises against them. They're malnourished, not receiving the biblical teaching their soul needs, due maybe to their own neglect or maybe a failure of pastoral shepherding. I'll never forget years ago when I heard a pastor say about people that are part of town and country churches, you know, people just like ours. I'll never forget it. You know, these are simple people. They can't handle the more complex things of the Bible. I'm glad I had a poker face when I heard that said, but as I think back, I maybe wish I did not have as good of a poker face in that moment when I heard that said. What? What? Practically speaking, how does this sometimes appear to us today? What might this look like? This inability, or we don't know, is this trustworthy? Is it not? How do I discern? Well, often we see it within the church as America, America's church, the broader church. We see it with such prominence with well-known false teachers. Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen, Stephen Furtick, Christina Kane, Benny Hinn, Todd White, and on that list goes. They sell millions of books, deceiving. Other times we see it with authors and speakers who rise in prominence who maybe don't intend to, but teach dangerous doctrine that is potentially quite harmful. People like Beth Moore and Priscilla Schreier, Lisa Turkhurst, Craig Groeschel, and Andy Stanley. We see it in Christians not knowing how to answer or defend the Bible's teaching on the sanctity of life or human sexuality, LGBTQ, gender dysphoria, and on that list goes. We see it in the rise of ideologies that are dangerous to the scriptures, critical race theory, critical social justice, that people are inherently racist simply because of the color of their skin, and that the entire American societal structural needs torn down, burned, and built anew. Sometimes we even see it in all the way down to Christian goofiness. I have this dream. It's not going to happen because now I'm going to say it publicly, so then you'll know. So I'm not going to do it. I have this dream of one day starting an Instagram page with just goofy Christian memes that I found all over the place. I'm not going to do it, but I have thought about it. So just sometimes there's just Christian goofiness, and we need to grow beyond this. We also see it in the twisting of Scripture out of context for one's own ends. So eisegesis. You'll see this very prominently sometimes in sports athletes or others who will have, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Okay? That's not quite means you can dunk a basketball or that you can score 3 goals in your professional game. Okay? Sometimes it might be expressed this way. The inability to understand that not all doctrines are first tier importance. There are many important doctrines that have different possible faithful Bible interpretations. On these second tier doctrines, many can't handle that their view may not be right, or that this is still my brother and sister and I can love and fellowship with, even if they hold a slightly different view. Spiritual maturity understands and is comfortable with tensions like that, as appropriate, and second and third tier doctrines. Verse 14 is stated in the negative, but allow me to read it in a Sam Brown version positive. So that we will be spiritually mature, standing steadfast amidst the waves of false doctrine and human deceit, holding fast to Christ and His word. That's what Christ would have for you and I, Christian. Steadfast in Him. The second then, in verse 15, growing together in Christ. What is Christ's work at Calvary? What would I believe? What would I want to press upon us this whole year of Christ's work at Calvary? Growing together in Him unto spiritual maturity. Well, verse 15, spiritual maturity looks like growing up, looking more like Jesus, the head of the body. Spiritual maturity looks like growth, looking more like Jesus, who is the head of the body. Verse 15 picks up in the positive. Rather, he says, rather than remaining immature in our faith, which has this picture of defenseless and untrained, malnourished, we've not been taught, we've not been learned in the things we should know, Christians are to grow up in every way in Jesus. So first, there's that picture of Christ as the head. It's from Jesus we receive all capacity for growth and activity and service. Jesus is the source of our growth as well as the aim and goal of our growth. We grow in spiritual maturity because of Jesus and His gospel, and we grow in spiritual maturity for Jesus and for the proclaiming of His gospel. The key phrase is right at the beginning of verse 15, speaking the truth in love. The Greek phrase could literally be translated truthing in love. I like that. Truthing in love. It means maintaining truth in love in both speech and life. Truthing in love. A few implications then. All through this passage, love, love of Christ and love in Christ, binds believers together. It's shown up all over the place. It's way back in verse 2, bearing with one another in love. It continues here all the way down in verse 16. It builds itself up in love. The unity of the body of Christ is love. So naturally then, our speech towards one another is love. Our actions towards one another is love. And when we fail in either way of these, we confess, we repent, we seek forgiveness, and we love again. There's no room, think about this, then truthing in love, there's no room for, hey, I'm blunt. I just speak my mind, deal with it. A little sticker on there, deal with it. Okay? There's no room for that. At the same time, there's not room for, but I need to be nice. I mean, truth can wait. And truth that isn't loving, you know, you should just be kept to yourself. There's not room for that either. Truthing in love. But see this point as well. Truthing in love requires a group of people. You can't truth in love all by yourself. Okay? Go ahead and try. You either become quite conceited or crazy. Okay? So once again, the Christian life was not intended to be lived on our own in isolation. Hence, another massive problem us pastors have had with lockdowns and restrictions on the public gathering for Christian worship. Because we can't do this on our own. I need you. We need one another. The Christian life is lived in community and fellowship with other Christians. My growth in Christ-likeness requires that I truth in love with you. Your growth in Christ-likeness requires that you truth in love with me and with one another. So what are some applications of this? Some applications are the baseline for our words, attitudes, and actions must be in love. They must be, plain and simple. The baseline for how we worship. The baseline for how we say hello on Sundays. The baseline for how we communicate, comment on each other's Facebook posts, and all the rest. The baseline for it is love. That's the foundation. It also is an implication for us that if you are grouchy, irritable, snappy, or rude, have stank face, I'm not going to demonstrate that, you can Google it later, avoid people on Sundays that you don't like, us Christians, we would never do that. Go into services or Bible studies or church meetings to make it all about us or look to pick a fight. It means that you and I need to repent from that. And guess what? It's okay. Chances are everyone already knows anyway. And what is to bind the body? Love. As you repent, you will be met with love. That's how the body works. Can you imagine that? A church family that's open, that's willing to confess, hey, brother, I was wrong, knowing that that church family is going to respond to each other, hey, I forgive you, I love you. That's no problem at all. We must think carefully about our communication, proceeding with difficult communication, so it's a little heavy on the truth, only after much prayer, much patience, and going into those conversations with many questions, always giving the benefit of doubt, seeking to understand. There are times within the body of Christ that difficult conversations need to happen, right? And no one's above that. No one's moved on past that. Oh, I've arrived at my spiritual life, so there's no confrontation needed for me. For all of us, we need that yet. So how do we go about that? Do we just avoid it? Do we jump at it the second it comes across our mind? Okay, my spiritual gift is confrontation. I'm here for you, Pastor. I'm glad I'm here. Okay? How do we enter conversations like that? With careful prayer, careful consideration. Make sure that we are loving that person, remembering that sometimes it is okay for it to go without being said. Sometimes we don't have to be the one to speak up on that. Always give the benefit of the doubt. Always seeking to understand. How many times have we gone into a conversation, we had a detail wrong? We've laughed about this on other times. So you're arguing with somebody, you're in the middle of an argument, man, you're making great points, and you suddenly hit you. I'm actually wrong. I actually have this wrong. Okay? Turn back. Do not continue. Remember who this is you are talking to. God has pressed upon you. There's truth that needs to be expressed and shared. Remember who you're talking to. This isn't your enemy. This is your friend. This is your brother and sister in Jesus. Of anything, as a body of Christ, as a congregation, we should be friends of anything. So part of the same body with the same head, Jesus Christ. It looks like our study we had last summer of the four rules of communication. Be honest. Keep current. Attack the problem, not the person. Act, don't react. This is what Christ has for us. And then finally, verse 16, it all summarizes together. It's all brought to a close quickly. Spiritual maturity looks like individual growing Christians resulting in spiritual and physical growing churches. Or to say that more succinctly, spiritual maturity looks like growing Christians and a growing church. As the individuals grow, as they grow together and poured into one another, the church grows and Christ is honored. Verse 16 is it. This is what Christ desires and is giving to his body. It's joined together in love. It's truthing in love. Every member is growing in Christ. Every member developing and offering their unique giftedness, no one being stifled, everyone being offered, everyone working together. It's all held together, all like joints and ligaments of a body. As all continue growing together, the whole body grows, and that growth overflows into more spiritual growth, more spiritual maturity, more love, more unity, more ministry, all by the power of Christ and for the glory of God. Can you picture this in your mind's eye? Can you imagine Calvary Baptist Church? So not Calvary of the past, praise the Lord for all of God's faithfulness, but Calvary of 2022 and onward, looking like this. Families, young, old, some here for many years, some brand new, all loving Jesus, loving one another, growing in the deep things of God, learning robust Bible doctrine, eager to gather together, eager to exercise and give all the giftedness we have. Can you imagine that here? Also, can you identify ways that God's blessing is already here now? God's already doing this work in us. He desires to do it yet more. Brothers and sisters here at Calvary Baptist Church, this is our theme for 2022, growing together in Christ. We want the best of what Christ has for us, amen? And Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 is it. So will you pray that God would do this work in your own heart? Will you commit before the Lord that whatever changes are needed in your life, you are willing? However God would lead us as a church to be more in line with the Scriptures, more honoring to Jesus, you are willing? Will you put your heart out on the line to truth in love one another? Will you treasure Jesus, treasure the gospel, and learn together sound, right doctrine? Will you bow the knee to King Jesus and his word?
Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Baptist Church radio broadcast today. Calvary is located at 46621 U.S. Highway 36, Coshocton. You can find us on Facebook by searching CBC Coshocton. We'd love to meet you and your family in person at an upcoming Sunday service. So thanks for listening, and God's very best to you.